Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
Psalm 127 is our text. Psalm 127. Today is Mother's Day. I want to preach on this subject, a rooted family. A rooted family. And I understand we have a lot of different kinds of families today and a lot of single adults and so forth, but we need to learn about how to build and how to be rooted in the Word of God today. And I think now more than ever, and I think you believe that as well. And Psalm 127 is our text, and we're going to read beginning in verse number 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the wonderful music today and for all the moms that are here on this special day. Oh God, we pray that you would bless them. We pray that you would help all of us today to learn about how to be rooted in our commitment to you, in our family life, and to do it in a Bible way. So Lord, teach us and help us. And if there's anyone here today without Jesus in their heart, I pray that they would receive Christ as Savior even today. And I ask this all in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, we are living in a day of failed institutions, and most of us see that all around us. Yesterday, the news came out that California's budget is $16.1 billion to the deficit. And while our legislature continues to fund a very leftist, liberal agenda, we cannot even pay for the basic necessities of life because of the failure of the state budget. We have seen that in other states as well. We also have seen the failure of the financial institutions in the last few years. We've all heard on the news about these failing institutions, and we hear about failing educational institutions and how the GPAs are less and less and the scores are lower and lower. But many of us would say that at the root of the problem with so many failures in our society today is the fact that our families are not rooted as they once were. It is the fact that family life is not strong and is not rooted in biblical principle. And that's why we honor moms today, and that's why we challenge moms and dads today to be rooted as families in the Lord. In 2009, there was a survey of 1,000 American adults, and they asked the question, is being a mom the most important role for a woman to fill in this society today? And 66% said that a motherhood is the most important role to them that a woman could play. And I'm glad that many in America still feel that way about motherhood. Moms deserve our honor and our love today. In fact, there are 85 million moms in America today. And I'm told by one newspaper article that there will be $18.6 billion celebrating Mother's Day, with $671 million of that going to purchase over 140 million greeting cards for moms today. And I hope you got your mom a card today. How many of you agree with me? That is a lot of money for a card, all right? But don't get the idea she'll take an email. She wants a card, okay? And don't forget that. The average person will spend $152 to reaffirm the value of motherhood on the special day called Mother's Day. So moms, if it's not everything you think it should be, look your kids in the eyes and say, fork it over. Okay? $152, that's what the survey said, all right? And so Americans go to great lengths to thank moms and to appreciate moms, and every one of us should. And you all know the three words that every woman really longs to hear. Those three special words. I'll clean up. All right? Don't forget those words. Those are the ones she wants to hear more than anything today. But this morning, with all of the good work that moms do, we see in America the family is hitting a real point of crisis. It has been there for some time, but now as the old saying goes, when all else fails, lower the standard. We're seeing those lowering the standard on the family, when in fact we need to stay with God's standard concerning what the family really is. If you're interested, as I am, in having a rooted family, I want you to look in your Bibles and look in the notes this morning, and I want you to notice, first of all, the foundation of the family. What is the foundation of the family? And it's right in our Bible, Psalm 127, verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." My friends, the Lord is the foundation of the Christian family. Except the Lord build the house. Now, the divorce rate in America for a first-time marriage is 41%. For a second-time marriage is 60%. For the third marriage is 73%. And I'm going to tell you, the statistics go higher and higher when you try to do it without God. But when you get God in the middle of it, and when you realize He's to be the foundation, then things can be done in a way that is lasting and that is a blessing to the family. You see, I want you to recognize that the Lord is the foundation of the family. Very quickly, I want you to remember that the Lord is the designer of the family. This is not our institution. It's not the government's institution. The Lord designed the family. In your notes, Genesis 2:18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone." That would have been the time for all mature, godly men to say amen. So I'm going to give you a second chance, all right? We're going to try. Some of you guys are a little slow, all right? All the Mother's Day stuff got you off guard. So let's try this again. "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should live alone." Revival's coming. I feel it in my bones. All right, good. And man, I'm telling you what, most married men would say hallelujah to that verse right there. It is not good that a man should be alone. And so God says, I will make an helpmeet for him. He says, look at this big clod right here. He's never going to make it on his own. And you read Genesis 1 and 2 sometime, and it says God created and it was good. And God created the heavens and the earth and it was good. And God created light and it was good. And God created the firmament and it was good. And God created man and he was alone, and whoa, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. So God said, I've got to have a helper for him. I've got to have someone to help him along the way. So look in your notes at Genesis 2:22. "And the rib," or from the rib, "which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man." And I hate to sound basic, but please take note of the English word woman and man, all right? And so from the man, he took the rib and he made a woman. "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Now that's to be translated, Adam said, woohoo! Yes, thank you, Lord. This is awesome. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He said, this is great. Thank you, Lord. "And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man," again, God's the designer of the family, "therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." This is what Jesus said as well. And this is a Baptist church, and we are Christian people, so what Jesus said should matter. All right? And Jesus said in Matthew 19, "And I said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Now, I think it's very plain what the Bible says and what Jesus says about family. And now, with all due respect to the office of our president, whom we should pray for and respect, I want you to hear what he said this week about marriage. And it's in your notes. And I give you the quote. "I've just concluded that, for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married." Now, the president said he talked this over with his friends, to which I would say, you need some new friends. The president has come to the conclusion that this is time in America to go ahead and go against what the Bible has given to us, what God has given to us concerning family. Now, I understand the Declaration of Independence, and so do you. We hold these truths to be evident self-evident that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I get that. I'm thankful we're in America where we can pursue happiness. But I also know in that same Declaration of Independence, our founders spoke about divine providence, seeking divine providence. And I know that they followed the book of his divine providence. And I think we need to recognize in this country today that the same God who gives us the right to seek life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness has also given laws that when they are disobeyed, when they are violated, will bring consequences to our country today. And I think we must come back to the place that God is the designer of what a marriage is, and that today on Mother's Day, we need to say enough is enough. And this idea of having an evolving position is not leadership. Leaders need to come back to the place, instead of trying to please the base, to pleasing God. And we need to recognize that as the designer of the family, we need to get back to God's design. Now, I want you to understand this morning. I want you to have it in your heart this morning what God says. One day after the president came out for same-sex marriage, Hollywood had a party. I think it was at Mr. Clooney's house. They gave him $15 million one day later. I want you to understand Hollywood is in opposition to the Bible. I want you to understand our president is in opposition to the Bible. And if there's Republicans that are in opposition to the Bible, put them in the stack. If the National Educator Association is in opposition to the Bible, the culture seems to be in opposition to the Bible. Europe gave congratulations. I want you to understand, please understand very clearly, this is a Bible-believing church. And as for me and my house, we will stand over here with the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I want you to understand very clearly on this issue of what is a family, we intend to stand right here with the old-fashioned King James Bible. We're going to stand where the Word of God stands. And I hope you understand he's the designer of the family. And no one, not even the President of the United States, as historically popular as he may be, no one is powerful enough to redesign what God has designed. And I'm just saying again, we're going to stand where the Word of God stands. You say, well, I just don't like that preaching. There are 8 doors in the back of this building. Feel free to use one at any time. We're going to stand where God stands on that issue. We're going to stand on the Word of God. And I want to encourage you to stand there and not to be ashamed. To be faithful to what God says about the family. He is the designer of the family. Look, if I were to go up to a B-2 bomber and say, I recommend you change this on the wing and this on the window, that plane would crash. I have no more right to tell the engineers of a B-2 bomber how to design that B-2 bomber than some guy working over here at McDonald's. And none of us have the right to tell God how to design his family. None of us. He's the designer. But I want you to know, secondly, he's the builder. He's the builder. Look at verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. My friend, understand the word accept. It means it's not going to happen without him. The word build means to establish. The word house speaks of family and family descendants. And God says, if you want your family to make it, and if we want this nation to make it, then we have got to ask God to help us once again. We've got to come back to this matter of having God in the middle of it. This past week was a busy week. We had college graduation. We had weddings and all kinds of activities. But I think about the weddings. Let's see. I got a picture of the wedding. I think this was Friday night. And here were two young people uniting together. Around here, we think weddings are important and sacred and holy unto the Lord. Saturday, yesterday, we had another one. Missionary's daughter from the Philippines married one of our young men from our church. And again, we sought God's blessing upon the family. And these young people were honoring the Lord. And they were seeking the Lord's blessing for their family. You see, this is wise to seek the blessing of God. It's wise to say, Lord, we can't build a marriage on our own. We can't raise children. Lord, we need your help in this matter, you see. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The Bible tells us there are two kinds of men, wise and foolish. Wise men build with Jesus, and foolish men try to build without Jesus. Look what the Bible says in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. My friend, we need to get this nation back to the rock, back to the Word, back to the foundation. It's time that we stop throwing the Ten Commandments out. It's time that we stop bowing down to the ACLU or anyone else that wants to run Christianity down or take the Bible out. I'm saying we've got to build on the rock. Look at the rest. It says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And as great as America is, if we get off the rock, and if we get on the sand, we're going to fall, and we're going to burn, and we're not going to have the blessing of God if we keep ignoring God. I'm saying He's the designer, and He's got to be the builder if it's going to last. And may I say, thirdly, He's the protector. Listen, friend, we need the protection of God. Thank God for every bullet and every plane and every bulldozer and every piece of equipment we have to defend America. But did you know that without God, we're in big trouble? Notice what it says in verse 1. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." The word keep means to guard it, and it means to protect it. And the psalmist said in Psalm number 121 and verse number 7, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." The idea is that we are to be dependent upon Him as our protector. He's the designer. He's the builder. He's the protector. May I say, fourthly, He's the provider. It is God that will provide. How many of you would say today, "God's been good to provide for me"? He's provided for us. He's blessed us in this land. Verse 2, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so He giveth His beloved sleep." He provides sustenance. He provides safety. And listen, we can rise up early, we can work late, but if He doesn't bless, we don't have what we need. It's all because of His blessing. "Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." James 1:17. Philippians 4:19. "But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Hey, listen to me today. The government doesn't pay your check, and Northrop doesn't pay your check, and the county doesn't pay your check. It is God that provides for us, and we would be wise to recognize that every good gift cometh from above and from our Heavenly Father. Oh, listen, God says, "I'll provide for your physical needs. I'll provide for your safety needs. I want you to look to me for your provision." Now, I'm glad that we have a God that gives safety. Now, when I was a kid, sometimes I felt like I needed safety from my mother, to be quite honest about it. Every once in a while, she knew how to take care of business. And I remember many times pleading for the grace of God and pleading for the grace of my mother for protection. Heard about one little boy. He went to bed. He was laying in there, and he said, "Mom, can I have a glass of water?" She said, "Son, I put you to bed. We already prayed. Stay in bed. Don't get out of bed." A minute later, he said, "Mom, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. Can I have a glass of water?" She said, "No, I told you no, and I told you I'm going to spank you. If I have to spank you, I will." About 5 minutes later, a little fella said, "Mom, what? When you come in to spank me, will you bring some water?" How many of you knew how to need protection and how to ask for protection from mom sometime? But I'm glad that God is our protector and God is our provider. You see, the foundation of the whole thing is God. And without Him, we're in big trouble. But notice secondly this morning, the fruit of the family. The foundation of the family, that's the Lord. But notice secondly, the fruit of the family. Now look at verse 3. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Now, I do not understand why it is that some families are not given the privilege of bearing children. And God is sovereign in that matter. I'm not God. He is. And I thank the Lord for many of our church families who have adopted children, who are foster parenting, and how that is such a vitally needed ministry. Thank the Lord for those that do that. But I can tell you the proper biblical attitude towards pregnancy is that it is the blessing, the miracle, and the privilege, and the gift from God. Amen. In fact, notice what it says there. It says in verse 3, "Children are an heritage." The word heritage means a possession or property, all right? And so we're adamantly opposed to slavery, but the fact of the matter is, don't tell the kids this. It'll disrupt them. It will hurt their identity. But in fact, they're the property, not of you, but of the Lord. They're the property of the Lord. So the fact of the matter is, when it says children are the heritage of the Lord, it's basically telling us as parents, they are not really our children. They are on loan to us from God, and He wants us to raise them for Him. Children are the heritage, the possession, the property of the children. That's why a mom, when she finds out she's expecting, she's thrilled, she's excited, but she's a little overwhelmed too, because this is a big responsibility to raise up a child for the Lord, you see. And that's why we as parents need to take this day. And I thank God for the mothers, but fathers as well, taking this day seriously as a time to raise up children and, yes, our grandchildren, to influence them for the glory of God. Look in your Bible there, or look in your notes at Deuteronomy 6:4. Deuteronomy 6:4 says this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now notice, God says, before you teach the children, get it in your own heart. Verse 7, And thou shalt diligently teach them unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now God says, hey, these children, I'm giving them to you on loan. And I want you, mom and dad, to love the Lord with all your heart. And I want you to teach these children when you're walking in your house, when you're talking in your house, when you're lying in your bed, I want you to talk about God and the ways of God. I want you to realize they are my possession. John Wesley said, I learned more about God than all of the theologians of England ever taught me. And so the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Listen, the four children that God gave to Terry and I were placed in our possession for a fleeting time, as we look back, just a short while. And God said, here they are, they're mine. I want you to get them ready to live for me and to glorify me. They are the possession of the Lord. But I want you to notice, secondly, they are the gift of the Lord. Children are a gift from the Lord. Now look at what it says in verse 3. Children are the heritage of the Lord. That means they belong to Him. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Now my friend, the fact of the matter is that when God blesses us with children, when God brings that blessing into our life, it's not something that we choose. Do we want this? Do we not want this? God says, no, no, this is a miracle that I have given to you. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5 says it this way: Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. In other words, God said, Jeremiah, I knew who you were before you were born. I formed you in your mother's belly. God recognizes life of the preborn child. That little heartbeat that starts, I think, at the 8th or 10th week is known of God. He understands and He sees that life. In fact, for those of us that are Christians, we'll recall the Christmas story. And the Bible says in Luke 2 and verse 5 that He came to be taxed with Mary, His espoused wife, being great with child. And the word child that was used there for Christ in the womb of Mary is the same word that is used for a raised child or a grown child. God makes no distinction in life when it comes to the preborn or when it comes to those that are already born. It's the same word, the word child. And this tells us that God values life from conception all the way until He determines that He will call us home. And how we thank the Lord today for the gift of the womb. In 35 years, Surgeon General Koop said, in 35 years of medicine, I've never seen one case where abortion was necessary to save a mother's life. In this day in which we live, when people call themselves Christian, when politicians want the Christian vote and the church vote, but at the same time, they want to deny the family and they want to deny the right to life, it's time that we said to those who call themselves evangelical, to those who call themselves Christian, if you're going to use those terms, then you better come back to the Bible or call yourself what you really are, a Bible-denying liberal. But as for me and my house, we will stand with the Lord, with the family, and yes, with the preborn child, because God recognizes life at conception. You see, friend, the Bible is clear. It's not so hard to understand. It's just that some don't want to follow what the Bible says. The foundation of the family is the Lord, and the fruit of the family, listen, that fruit in the womb, That miracle of conception, that's God's miracle. That's not something to be disposed of. That's something to be thankful for. Notice the foundation is the Lord. The fruit is a gift from God. Notice thirdly, the future of the family. The future of the family. Now I want you to think about, where's this thing called the family headed? Where are we going in this country and in our churches with our family life? And look at, you maybe have had a broken family. You may have had an abortion. Listen, I'm not against you, and God is not against you, and His grace is for you. But from this day forward, how can we work together to strengthen our society? How can we work together to make stronger homes and stronger families? Notice the Bible says in verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, when I think of the future of the family, I want you to take note. First of all, direction is needed. Direction is needed. Look at verse 4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. Now, a mighty warrior in Bible times would take a piece of wood and he would so craft that arrow. And he would put a piece of stone in the front for the tip that was rightly balanced. And perhaps some feathers or other weights on the back. He would spend a lot of time making this arrow just right. Because listen, when you're in battle and you draw back and you have a target 60 feet away or 60 yards away, you want that arrow to go boom right to the target. You want to have success in your hunt or in your battle or whatever it is. You need a perfectly balanced arrow. God says, I'm giving you the raw material. Now, I want you to take that child. I want you to polish his life. I want his life to be balanced. I want you to give direction to that life because you're only going to have this child for 17 or 18 years. And I want it so that when that child leaves your family, there will be a balanced direction that you help to give them so that they will hit their target. And by the way, their target is to live for Jesus Christ. And he says, I want you to set that direction for them so that they're going off in the right direction. I was talking to my kids about this the other day, and our daughter Danielle, of course, Danielle and Peter had our first grandson. This is Mother's Day, so just indulge me a little family moment here. She said, Dad, you need to see this video of Peter and with Camden. Camden was in the car, and they're driving around church. So I want you to see this and think about the direction in his little life.
What?
What's heaven mean?
What's heaven mean?
Yeah.
I thought that's what you asked me. Place where Jesus lives. Mm. You can go there if you ask Jesus into your heart. Is that cool?
Ask Jesus?
Yeah, you can ask Jesus to be in your heart.
Jesus.
And I'm proud of you.
Now, I'm not saying Camden's saved yet. He's not even 3 years old. But he's asking questions about heaven and God and Jesus. And he's being told to think about having a place in his heart for Jesus. And that's a direction that's being set. By the way, don't think that a job with a 2 or 3 year old is minuscule or non-consequential. In fact, some of the greatest seed you will ever sow is in that early moment of your child's life. Well, I like that video. Let's watch that video again. I just think that video is good.
What?
What's heaven mean?
What's heaven mean?
Yeah.
I thought that's what you asked me. Place where Jesus lives. Mm. You can go there if you ask Jesus into your heart. Is that cool? Jesus to be in your heart.
Jesus, open my heart, please.
And I'm proud of you.
Now one day I pray that with full understanding of his sin and full understanding of who Jesus is and what he did, that he'll ask the Lord to come into his heart. But you know, as a granddad, I'm just glad that direction's getting set. I'm glad there's a direction being set. And moms and dads, our job is to set the direction. Like a mighty warrior prepares that arrow to go out, we've got to set the direction for the kids' lives. Proverbs 4 and verse 1 says, hear ye children, the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. And listen, some of us this morning need to say to Hollywood, we need to say, listen, Hollywood, where's Hollywood? I'm going to find Hollywood here and preach against Hollywood. We need to say, Hollywood, you're not going to have my child. HBO, you're not going to have my child. MySpace, you're not going to have my child. I'm setting a different direction for my child. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I think you'll understand what I'm saying. But the gay marriage crowd, they can't create their own children, but they'd like yours. They don't reproduce, but they recruit very heavily. And the media makes it look like the funnest lifestyle. Some of you ought to say, you're not going to have my child. You're not going to take the child into that thought and into that consequence and into that lifestyle. You better give them a direction because, my friend, the Bible commands us, train up the child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. A direction is needed. Children need direction, and it must come from the family and from the parents. Secondly, leadership is provided. Now, this is beautiful. I'm almost done. When parents give direction, the result is leadership in society. When we do not give direction, there's no hope for leadership in society. Now notice what it says in verse 5. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. It says that the children, this quiver full, these children likened unto an arrow, when given direction, will be tomorrow's leaders in the city gate. Now, the Old Testament city gate was a place where men would do judicial business, and they would seek the audience of the king, and they would be there as warriors, potentially, to protect the city, to protect their parents, and they were there in time of need. And the fact is today that we need, in this country, future leaders. We need pastors and Christian businessmen and Christian women, and we need city council members who love God. Do you understand? These children that sang up here in the choir a moment ago, those are just a few years from now going to be the choir members. One of the boys perhaps singing up in that choir might be the pastor of this church someday. Probably one of the ornery ones will be the pastor, but one of the guys up there being a little ornery one day will stand up and preach the word of God. Listen, we have got to polish that arrow. We have got to craft that arrow. We've got to balance those arrows so that they go far for the Lord. And the Bible says one day they're going to stand in the gate. One day they're going to be teaching the lessons and defending the faith. We have got to teach them now so they know how to do that. But let me tell you the greatest thing a parent ever teaches their child. If you want to secure the future of your family, look at this verse as we close, 2 Timothy 3:15. It says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." You see, sometimes we think, well, pastor does the important job. He speaks to the adults. No, I have to fix up stuff that's already broken. I have to convince stubborn people to do this or do that. And with all due respect, I love you. Happy Mother's Day. But sometimes it's not the easiest job. I'm telling you, it's fun to teach the children. You know, when I preach the elementary chapel here in our school, they're like, "Yay, it's Pastor!" You know, and we have fun. And I tell them, you know, about Noah's Ark, and they're, "Oh yeah, Noah's Ark, yes, amen." You know, and they're just right there with me. You know, and they want to hear it. And the fact of the matter is that when we teach a child, we're really investing in the early end of a great product for the Lord. So he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." My friend, when a man or woman realizes that they are a sinner, and that their sin separates them from God, and that Jesus shed his blood on the cross to cover our sin, and when we turn to Christ and we receive Christ as our Savior, at that moment we have salvation. But listen, the idea of saying all the religions are about the same, and it doesn't matter if you're Scientology or Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim or Christian, they're all good. I happen to be more of a Christianity type, a Buddhist Krishna, all of the mix of it, but the fact of the matter is all of them are the same way. Look, at until someone is willing to turn and repent from that pluralistic, hobbledygook type of religious idea and turn to Jesus Christ alone, they cannot be saved, for there is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. The Bible says, "But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." Religion can never save us from our sin. Jesus saves us from our sin. And from a child, Timothy was taught, Jesus died for your sin. Jesus is coming to save us from our sin. And Timothy received Christ as his Savior and thus had a home in heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You don't have eternal life because you believe in all the religions. You don't have eternal life because you join the Baptist church. You have eternal life. You have a future because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You want to talk about the future of the family? Boy, we need to strengthen the family in America. But let me ask you this. Will you have a future in heaven with your family? Will you have an eternity? And it's only by way of the cross that we can know that we have an eternity in heaven. The foundation of the family, that's the Lord. The fruit of the family, that's the fruit of the womb. The future of the family, that's done as we train our children and as we receive Christ as our Savior, that we might have a future home in heaven.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.